Our first reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, beginning with verse 1. I revealed myself to those who did not ask me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, "Here am I, here am I." All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, "Keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you." Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord. Because they burned sacrifices on the mountain and defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes and people say, "Don't destroy it," there is still a blessing in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. Our second reading is Psalm 3. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise against me? Many are saying of me, "God will not deliver me." But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. The next reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery until the elemental spiritual forces, the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of him. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, What is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he, Jesus, gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. I should probably introduce myself. I'm Ken Alvajim. I live in Lowry with my wife Kay, who's here with me this morning, and my dog, who decided to stay home. And so occasionally I get asked to produce a sermon for one of a couple of churches, and this is one of those days. I'll be going out to St. John's shortly after I leave here, so you probably we'll see a cloud of dust when I leave. From the book of Isaiah, the people who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat. And from the psalm, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And from Galatians, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. And from our gospel lesson, when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Seems like this morning we are bound to be talking about pork. Not that I wouldn't choose that for a topic, though I might well choose it from a menu. It starts way back in Isaiah. The people were disregarding God, forgetting the things that he had asked them to do and not do, like in their worship. There were rules about where to burn incense and where to make sacrifices, not on a brick and not in a garden. Sacrifices, near as I can tell, were to be made in the temple, and incense was to be burned in the temple as well. The chosen people had started their slide into disobedience as kind of pragmatism, which means doing something because it works. Way back in Judges, we read about the Asherah pole belonging to Gideon's father. In fact, you can read about another character whom Joshua executed, along with his entire family, for grabbing some plunder from Jericho, which the Lord had forbidden. So why were the chosen people eating pork? Were they raising hogs too? And let's not forget about the prodigal son who blew his inheritance and ended up feeding hogs in a foreign land. Well, I'm certainly not giving them a pass, even though I know Jesus gives me a pass for things I have done wrong. But let's look at this. A cow has about one calf per year, and in those days it probably had to be 2 years old before you butcher it. Or it has a calf and you can start over. There is some record of milk being used as food back then, but it was generally made into a kind of cheese. A goat or sheep could have two or maybe three lambs or kids, but that also was a once per year event as far as I can tell. They grow faster than cows, but you don't get much meat off one. Enter the lowly hog. A sow can have a litter of 13 little piggies, 2 to 3 times per year. They grow like weeds and are fairly self-sufficient. They can live on food that cattle, sheep, or goats won't eat. And if a wolf gets one, well, you got a dozen more. And if Mama Pig gets a hold of the wolf, the pack will be one short. But God did not approve of hogs, likely because they are not choosy about their diet. An undercooked pork has the possibility of carrying a parasite called trichina, which causes trichinosis in humans. Doesn't matter. God said not to do it, but they did it anyway. At the end of the reading from Isaiah, however, God provides a promise of better days to come. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. God was working on this premise in the presence of the disciples as they traveled with Jesus. The 8th chapter of Luke is loaded up with miracles. As they approach the shore of the Gerasenes, the disciples have just seen Jesus calm the raging sea, and they are about to witness the deliverance of the man possessed by a horde of demons. Remember, they have landed on a Gentile shore. They are no longer in Judea. Luke 8:27, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Is this a reference back to the Isaiah reading? After ordering the demon to come out of the man, the demon identifies Jesus and begs him not to torture him. When I'm preparing a sermon, sometimes I have to make a note to myself, and sometimes those notes find their way into my sermon. Note to self, the demons always recognize Jesus. Do I? Do we? Jesus asks the demon his name and replies, Legion, because many demons had gone into the man. If we take this literally, a legion in Jesus' time consisted of 6,100 soldiers. That's a lot of demons. And not much wonder the superhuman strength of the man. Then, after repeatedly begging Jesus not to send them into the abyss, they ask Jesus if they can instead go into the pigs in the herd grazing nearby. Mark chapter 5:13, where this story is also recorded, says that this was about 2,000 pigs. And Jesus permits them to do so. Notice that Jesus does not order them to go into the pigs. He just orders them to come out of the man. This drives the pigs crazy, and they all rush over the edge of the cliff and are drowned. We do not know what happens to the demons after this. We do know that the swineherds run off to tell everyone what happened to the hogs. This episode generates a great deal of fear among the town folk who ask Jesus to leave, not to mention the financial loss of 2,000 hogs. July hog futures, I noticed yesterday, were at 112.775. This translates to about $226 for a 200-pound hog. So Jesus and the disciples shove off. The once demon-possessed man begs to go with Jesus. But Jesus says, no, your job is to tell everyone how much God has done for you. Now, I have wandered about a bit in my musings this morning. I suppose there are many ways to present this scripture as there are preachers. I didn't necessarily want to talk about hogs, but there they were in two of our readings. I wasn't really planning to talk about demons either, but there they were. In the way that the gospel presents them, they are hard to avoid. But a couple of things came to me as I considered these lessons. First, we live in an age of grace and not of law. This doesn't mean that the law has gone away, but parts of it seem to have been set aside, like the dietary laws. In our conversation via email, Pastor Mike allowed us how he's really fond of bacon. Me too. And we are both glad for the clarification Peter gave us in the book of Acts. John Wesley, an early American evangelist and the writer of many hymns and books, was asked to say a blessing on a ham dinner at a church that he was visiting. In acknowledging the contrast in dietary rules, he prayed, Lord, we ask you now to bless this meal in this dispensation, which was forbidden in the former one. Second, I want to avoid giving too much attention to demons. They exist. The Bible says so. They are present in our world. The Bible says that too. Check out the news, however, when there are people giving speeches or responding to reporters. Many times you'll see the speaker's face is contorted with fury. And they're hollering at the top of their lungs. This is what demons do. The book of Ephesians tells us in chapter 5, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Good advice. When you are full of the Spirit, it's hard for the demons to get in. Finally, while Jesus raised his voice occasionally, his greatest blessings brought peace to troubled hearts. Delivered in a calm voice, I think of the words from Eternal Father strong to save, the words, O Holy Spirit, who did brood upon the waters dark and rude, and bid their angry tumult cease, and give for wild confusion peace. Whether you have peace or are seeking it, receive it now in the forgiveness of all your sins, in the blessed name of Christ, and by his authority. Amen.